Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Volkswagen, Western New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact footwear and apparel for hardworking men and women.
All right, happy Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s and buy Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. On to week two. We're joined on the Western Hotline by Chris Brown. Chris, it's Friday. Have you had the appropriate amount of time to kind of come down off of what was Sunday night? I know we talked on Monday, but still, reliving that game from week one has been a fun thing to do throughout this week.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook a whole lot, but it was nice to see some people kind of coming out of the woodwork after that game, just reaching out and saying, hey, and what a great game. And there were even some people that admitted that they left early and were listening to me on the way home. So so that's what it was interesting to see the people that actually admitted that.
Yeah. Well, an epic win and now follow-up act, an encore for this team. And a different challenge, road game, and a new injury pops up. Like we'll get the update maybe from Sean McDermott, 11 o'clock later today with Sal on the Extra Point Show. The Ed Oliver walking boot kind of pops up out of nowhere, and it's tough on a number of levels, Chris. First off, it's a starting player, and second off, was it his best game as a Bill that he comes off of with an injury?
Yeah, it's probably up there, right? It's certainly in his top five. I mean, he had a heck of a game last year against the Lions, I remember, and there have been others too. I even remember a game against the Chargers at the end of 23 when he closed the game out with a sack on Easton Stick when they absolutely had to have it. So he's had some games, and obviously the 9.5 sack season 2 years ago was a big year for him. But after the way he played Sunday night, the thought of not having him now is like, oh, geez, you're going to start the division slate without this guy. I think it would present an enormous opportunity for TJ Sanders, the second-round pick, if Ed for some reason can't play. But that rotation gets one man lighter, and they'd probably have to call one of the three defensive tackles they have on the practice squad up for the game on Sunday.
How big of a challenge do you see that being for them, given what the Jets present? It's not Derrick Henry, but Breece Hall's had some success against the Bills in his career so far.
Yes, he has. I actually looked it up. Since 2022, backs with more than 20 carries against the Bills since 2022, he is third in average yards per carry at 6.4. The only two ball carriers better than him are Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. So he's been pretty good against them quietly, I think, because more often than not, the Bills have won the football game. But he has been productive with a multitude of different quarterbacks. So it almost doesn't matter what quarterback is in there. He has more often than not been productive against them. So, with Justin Fields, who also presents the element of the run, I think it's something that they're going to have to get a handle on, and I think they should expect to be tested on some of the same run fits that were not consistent enough in the game Sunday night. That's just what good teams do. They test you on the things you got hit on the week before to see if you've buttoned those up. So I would imagine the Bills have repped those umpteen number of times. And I'm also curious to see, Tanner Engstrand, the offensive coordinator who came over from the Lions. I mean, he saw how much the rollout game was a problem for this Bills defense last year with Goff and with Matthew Stafford the week before, as a matter of fact. So it wouldn't stun me if they put Justin Fields out on the move and say, hit the open guy, and if nobody's there, just run.
Yeah, McDermott this week sounded urgent to a point. And, you know, he's one, a big one to preach fundamentals in this Baltimore game would have been, the tape would have shown him that guys were just missing spots, missing assignments, missing where they needed to be. And, well, that can be maybe for a coach, Chris, more concerning. And also, and it's kind of like a diagnosis, right? Like, I know what went wrong, and you're talking about repping those out. It feels like the players that maybe missed those spots, and linebackers and safeties and everybody, it's a mission to get on track as quickly as possible, because McDermott's message was that, sure, it's early, but we don't want to have that fester.
Right, and I think what helps in that effort, number one, is you have a veteran core on defense that's going to be committed to, you know, getting it right, whether it's Bernard, Milano, some of the veteran guys up front. And then secondarily, even though it's an emotional win, you worry about, you know, the emotional roller coaster a little bit and being, you know, completely ready and up for this game. I think it also helps, you know, that it's your first division game of the season, which tends to bring a sharper focus as well. So I expect the defense to be markedly improved this week, because they know that, even as good as Josh Allen is, you can't give up 40 points.
Chris Brown with us on the West Hur Hotline. Chris, the Fields matchup, he's played once against the Bills with the Bears. How much respect do you have for him as a threat, as a quarterback? It went pretty well in week one, but it's been an up-and-down career for him so far.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It has. I think it looks as though, and again, we have a very small sample size here, guys, right? But it looks as though they're willing to let him throw enough to keep defenses honest. It's in a bit of a way, guys, a page out of the Ravens playbook. I mean, I know a lot of people looked at the stat sheet last week and were shocked that Lamar only threw the ball 19 times. Now, with the success of the run game, it kind of explains it. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tanner Engstrand takes a similar approach. We don't need Justin Fields to win us the game with his arm. We just need him to complement what we hope is an effective run game and use play action to help make him effective. And I think for the most part that worked for them last week, you know, against a defense that may not be elite, but is certainly a respected defense around the league in Pittsburgh. And they put points on the board. They moved the football. So I think they're going to continue in that vein going forward.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills and Jets. And the follow-up act for this Bills offense, you know, James Cook explosive plays, Josh Palmer explosive plays, and Keon Coleman as well. Like, to me, one of the most interesting things is what they do with Coleman here. What the Bills do, what the Jets do. And, you know, Josh looks for Coleman, but Chris, to me, like, one of the bigger things about here is how effective Coleman has been at looking for Josh. You know, that bounce that goes to him in the back of the end zone that extends that game, that's a direct result of him not giving up on scramble drill plays. And it feels like he can carve out a nice little niche there with the scramble drill being Josh's primary target.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because he's got the biggest catch radius on the team. He's got the best vertical leap on the team. So that widens the net, so to speak, in terms of where the ball can end up. I mean, we know Josh is a ridiculously accurate quarterback. He puts it on people. But in those off-script plays, I mean, you can think about the Jets game last year in Buffalo. I mean, he throws it back across the field. He's clearly targeting Ty Johnson, and Keon Coleman comes out of the sky and just out jumps everybody and gets to the football first. So this, you know, what we saw Sunday night was not the first time something like that happened. So yeah, I think that is an added element that, you know, when you are off the script, that's a good guy to look for, because even if he's covered, there's a good chance he's going to be out jumping whoever is near him for the football.
The one guy that might not, I wonder if it's a Sauce Gardner matchup for Coleman. Although I don't know if you've thought at all about what they'll do. Like, he will shadow other teams' top guys. The Bills obviously not a team last year where that would have happened a lot. And I wonder if that game that he just had, Chris, will get that level of attention from the Jets, or if they'll just have their corners play on opposite sides. And the opposite corner, Stevens, it feels like this is one of those games where, you know, you might want like a Bills receiver in fantasy, whoever's not going up against Sauce Gardner, because it sounds like the rest of the secondary might be weaker than it's been in past years.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good a cover unit as it's been in past years, to your point. I do wonder, though, if the Jets actually put Brandon Stevens on Coleman, only because Coleman isn't a burner, per se. And Stevens is like 6'3". I mean, he's tall and 195. So, I mean, not that Gardner is a runt. He's long, too, but he's slight in frame. And I could see Keon boxing him out for plays on the ball. Stevens is a little sturdier, and you don't need a burner to cover Coleman. So I'm really curious to see how those matchups work. They may just stay where they are on each side and say, let's see how it goes. But I think Stevens, you know, his problem is he gets burned by fast guys on double moves and things like that. Physical guys, he's usually okay. I think that's one of the main reasons the Ravens drafted him in the first place. They play a very, you know, beat you up at the line of scrimmage, grab, clutch, hold you, and Stevens is a big, sturdy corner that can do that. If I see Palmer over there on his side, I'm liking my chances because, yeah, you know, we know Palmer is a precision route runner and he's got some juice. So to me, that's kind of the matchup I'm hoping to see. I want to see Palmer on Stevens because then I think there's an opportunity for a big play.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, thanks very much. Enjoy the game, and we'll be ready for a quick turnaround with the Miami Dolphins on Thursday.
Yeah, have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Brown's appearance on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Volkswagen, Western New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com. And by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Football Friday, rolling along. Week two, game of the week is probably Eagles-Chiefs.
I think definitely Eagles-Chiefs.
Yeah, it's a Brady game. Tom Brady went on Colin Cowherd yesterday. How many years in a row will Tom Brady go on a radio or television program and say that young quarterbacks today aren't as good as he was? How many years in a row? He's done it again.
How old is he?
He's done it again. He said, the game is so dumbed down, these guys don't know how to play. How many years will he do it?
He will do it for 45 might not be to wrong. 60 years.
I'm not saying, I don't know if he's right or wrong.
Wait, sorry.
I tend to believe him.
He's but a vampire. He's going to live for 500 years, so 500 years.
But he just can't resist saying, players today are not as good as I was.
Yep. I also saw that he swore four times.
Really?
While I'm with Colin Cowherd.
I didn't see that.
Like, he didn't know. He said, I think it was four different swear words even that he said. So...
Everybody,
I don't know.
Tom Brady.
I don't think they have dump buttons on TV like that. Maybe they do.
Tom Brady swearing. Everybody eats. Going to use all the words once.
Yeah.
Make sure I, you know, don't leave anyone out.
This guy just thinks he can do whatever he wants.
He pretty much can, right? All right. The Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy at the top of the hour. We'll remember some Jets, too.
Remember some Jets. You mentioned Ashton Jeanty earlier was getting some talk on this. Fantasy finds, fantasy fades. I've got a big name fantasy fade that is not Ashton Jeanty.
Okay, we'll get to that. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.